Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Membeis. We are holding at the beginning of Perek Elu Treifus on daf Membeis Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander and honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Aleha Shalom, the Neshama, should have an Aliyah. And we thank him very much for the sponsorship. It's also sponsored by Brandy and Jeffrey Geitzeltz to give Shevach V'odah L'Hashem on their granddaughter, Chaya Nechama Malka Bas Rivka Mayim, Miriam, returning home from a long stay in the hospital. We thank everyone for their tefillos and continue to daven for Refuah Shleima. She should have a Refuah Shleima and grow up strong and healthy. And we thank the Geitzeltz very much for these sponsorships. So today what we're going to discuss is the following. We're beginning Perek Elu Treifos, so the Mishnah is going to list off the 18 treifos, the 18 things that conditions that if an animal had, it would turn it into a treifa. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, is it treifa chaya or treifa eina chaya? Does a treifa have the ability to live for 12 months, or do we assume that part of the definition of a treifa is that it cannot live for 12 months? And the Gemara is going to quote the opinions for each, the sources for the opinions of each, treifa chaya and treifa eina chaya. Then the Gemara is going to question, wait just a second, are there really only 18 treifos? We could think of four more different statements in Mishnayos and Brisos that teach us other treifos, and seven more shmuos that teach us other treifos, and therefore, in order to answer those four and seven that seem to be additional treifos, the Gemara is essentially going to say it comes down to an accounting issue, that it depends how you count them. So some of the treifos that we may mention in the Mishnah, even though we list them as seven different items in the Mishnah, may really only count as one because of their similarities to one another. But the number 18 is a magic number of sorts when it comes to treifos. It's just a matter of how you count to that number 18. So let's get to it. The Mishnah tells us, Elu treifos bebehema. The following things are the types of treifos they have by a behema. Now, if you look at the top tosos, Elu treifos, Igar sinon Elu nicha, Igar sinon ve'elu. So Tosos says, wait a second, there are two different girsaos in the name of the parak. Is the parak called Elu treifos, or is the parak called ve'elu treifos? So he says, Elu treifos is great, it's a fresh start. It means that we're discussing something now that we have not discussed before. So that would not be, you don't need any reason to connect it to the Mishnayos in the previous parak because it's a brand new topic. And if you're Gores Ve'elu Trefos, that seems to suggest that we're somehow connected to what we were just learning about. But this really, see, it's a new volume of Art Scroll, it's a new volume of Masifta. It seems to be like a totally fresh start. So what are we talking about over here? So Tosa says, it could be connected to the previous perek, that our Mishnah is the hemshech of what it said in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishevav, whether Ikur and Chalada are a nevela or a treifa. So and Rabbi Akiva ultimately was moda to Rabbi Yishevav that it's a nevela. So our Mishnah says, okay, the following things that we're going to list in our Mishnah over here are not nevela, they are treifa. They are in a different category called the treifa. So in that sense, we're picking up from the previous perek. Say Elu treifos bebehema. The following are the treifos that would make a behema a treifa. Nekuvas haveshet. If there's a nekev, and nekev implies even a mashuhu, Rashi writes that any treifa that's machmas a nekev, the shir is afilu b'mashuhu. Tosa says that a shir of mashuhu in terms of the size of the hole, but in terms of the depth of the hole, it has to go all the way through. It has to go until it reaches a hollow area, that it goes through the entire dofen of that aver, the entire wall of that aver. Now, l'chorin, with every shechita that you do with a knife, before you shecht rov simin, you've made a nekev in the veshet. So l'chorin should be a nevela right away. So how could it help to continue the shechita? It already became aser. So that's what Rashi and Daf Yutasam Beis already explained, that since it's all one act of shechita without a shehia in between, without pausing in between, so that is called the derech hashechita. That's considered part of the shechita, and we don't look at it in pieces. We don't say, oh, if you freeze frame right here, so now the animal's a treifa, it's a nevela, it's a this. No, it's one act of shechita, and we assume that it goes through and through. So again, the first one is nekuvas haveshet, that there's a nekev in the veshet of the animal. The veshet is the food pipe. That's where the food goes through. Psukas hagargeres, or if you have a rove of the kana that is nifsak, meaning that is cut, that's split along its width, not along its length. Nikav krum shalach, or the membrane around the brain has a hole in it. Nikav halev lebeis chalalo. There's a hole in the heart that goes all the way to the chambers of the heart. Nishbra shidra, the spine is broken. V'nifsak hachut shala, and the spinal column is snapped, which is which goes through the entire spine. Nita lakaved l'nishtayre menu klum. If the liver has been removed and there is nothing remaining of it, meaning a person also could live without some of his liver, meaning they could remove a lobe or whatever. There are liver transplants that live liver transplants that they do, but you can't live without all of it. They never would take all of it from one person and give it to another person. So over here also by a behema, if it's missing all of it, so then the animal is a trefa. Hareya shenikva oshachasra. If a lung has a hole in it or is missing a piece on any of the lobes of the lungs, Rabbi Shimon says a hole in the lung does not cause it to be a trefa. Ad shetinokev lebeis hasymphonos, until the hole goes all the way to the beis hasymphonos on the inside of the lung. Nikva hakeva, if the keva, which is one of the stomachs, has a hole in it. Nikva hamara, if the mara has a hole in it. Nikva adakin, if the intestines have a hole in it. Ha kares hapnimis shenikva, the inner kares that it has a hole in. It's a good idea to have. I'm sure all of the art scrolls and everything else has a picture of the inside of the animal and all of the, so you can identify what parts we're talking about. Nowadays there are multiple videos available that will take you through this in a real animal, meaning not just a picture of an animal. So all good to be able to try to understand the metzius that we have over here. So it's all I was just talking to Rav Shechter yesterday, and he was saying how that whenever Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach needed to know something, he said he remembered he didn't know much about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein made Aliyah, he came back to America the first time, and he said this person is unbelievable. This Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, not just that he knows everything, it's that he's so interested in everything that he knows everything about everything. Meaning, if there was a shaila that came up about anything, he would go to the greatest experts, and he would say, explain it to me, and he would sit there with such patience for an hour listening to a lecture from an expert on the topic, and then he would pause and he would say, wait, let me say it back and tell me what I'm getting wrong. And he would summarize everything in 5 minutes, like an AI. He would summarize everything, except he was accurate. He would summarize everything in 5 minutes, right back to the person. And they said they got the impression that he understood it better than they understood it when he was able to process things. That's what Rav Shechter quoted the Netziv, the Netziv writes in his Hakdama to the commentary on the Shiltos, I think, that when you have great, great Talmidei Chachamim, sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them the other wisdoms, or the ability to grasp the other wisdoms in an easier way. So instead of having to earn 100 graduate degrees, he was able to pick up on so much. So he's able to absorb all of these. But it takes a lot of knowledge. So he obviously not going to understand the trefus without a little bit of anatomy, without understanding the anatomy of the animal. It's a reality, meaning it's a metzius. So to understand the metzius, you need to be familiar with the metzius. So anyway, Nikra rov hachitzona, or rov of the outer keres, is ripped open. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says that we could be mechalik between the outer keres being ripped open and a large animal like a shar versus a small animal like an egel. Hagedola tefach, that when it comes to a gedola, the keres hachitzona has to be ripped open a tefach, and that will be enough of an impact to make it a trefa. But vakatana, when it comes to a small animal, then it's beruba. Then it doesn't need to be the a tefach, it could be rove of the keres is enough already to make it a trefa. Now, gedola and ketana are not normally the way we describe animals. We normally describe animals as behema gasa and a behema daka. So Rashi on the spot points out, gedola ketana lav gasa v'daka ka'amar. Well, we don't mean gasa and daka. Gasa and daka are descriptions of different minim of animals. Elo shel shor katan v'shor gadol. We mean the same type of animal, small and big. So we're talking about smaller versions of the same animal and larger versions of that very same animal. The hemsis and the beis hakosos that they develop a nekev until that nekev could be seen from the outside of them. So then it's going to be considered a trefa. Naflim in a gag, if a behemoth falls off of a roof, even though you don't see any obvious broken bones, but if you shecht it right away and you didn't wait to see 24 hours to see if it recuperates and if it's still okay or if there was any long-term impact, that will make it a trefa as well. This is a trefa called Nisraskue Vereha, that we assume that its limbs are all out of whack from going through the trauma of that fall. Nishtabru Rov Saluseha, if most of the ribs are broken, even if it didn't fall off of a roof. Udrusa Zaev, or a behema was attacked by a zaev that has venom in its claws. So whether it's a behema daka like a kevis or an aze, or whether it's a behema gasa like a shor, that venom that a zaev has is able to turn the animal that it attacks, the victim, into a trefa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, drusa zaev bedaka, udrusa sari begasa. Then no, it's the Ze'ev will only be able to turn a behemah daka into a trefa. It will not have that same impact on a behemah gasa, but an ari, a lion, will actually have that impact even on a behemah gasa, and therefore would turn even a behemah gasa into a trefa if it was a victim of a lion's attack. So once Rabbi Yehuda makes this chiluk between a behemah daka and a behemah gasa when it comes to behemos, so the Mishnah tells us there's a chiluk when it comes to the world of ophos as well. When it comes to birds as well, drusas hanet, a bird that is attacked by another bird that has claws like a nate, ba'of hadak. So when it's a small bird, when the victim was a small bird, so then it will become a trefa, because we assume that the venom or whatever the larger bird has is able to impact it significantly. But if it's a large bird, it's a goose, it's a chicken, something like that, so then we assume that it doesn't have the ability to turn it into a trefa, and the bird would still be, the victim would still be kosher. Udrusas hagas, but a large oaf that does the attack, ba'of hagas, will have the impact of making an oaf hagas, a large victim bird, into a trefa. Zaklal, the basic rule is, kol shein kama chaya trefa. Anytime an animal suffers an injury that it would not typically live from, that it's not able to go on and live, that would define it as that animal is a trefa. So that's the basic rule, that we're not bodek this behema specifically, because if it was shechted right away, we don't know if it was going to die or not. But we check on a different animal that has a similar maka and see if it's able to live, or if it's not able to live. That's what Tosfos writes, that you can't tell on this animal, obviously, because it's too late for this animal. You shechted it. If you didn't shecht it, then anyway, you're not allowed to eat it. So you shechted it. So obviously, it means that we do some research, and we see what kind of impact this has on animals in general. So now, says the Gemara, now that we've listed the 18 different trefos of a behema, Amar Reb Shimon Lakish, remes the trefa min HaTorah Minayin. Where do we find a remes to this concept that a trefa is something that you're not allowed to eat, that there's such a thing called the trefa? So minayin, what do you mean? Where do we find a remes to it? Ubasubasa the trefa lo sochelu. The pasuk says beferish that you're not allowed to eat a trefa. So even though the Gemara darshans from this pasuk a lot of other dinim as well, like basar kachim that was yotze chutz mechitzas azara, so we assume that that once it was yotze chutz mechitzas azara, it doesn't have any heter anymore. Or the Gemara is going to discuss an ubar that's yotze, that's motzi yado mechitzas guf imo, that's sticks its hand out from the mother's body prior to the shechita, that yad is going to be usher, that hand is going to be usher, that paw is going to be usher. But nevertheless, we have a principle in Tanakh that in a mikri yotzim yidei pshuto, and the pshuto shalmikra is that we're talking about a trefa, that there's an isser called the trefa. So it could be that there are additional levels of interpretation, but the pshuto shalmikra is also true. So what do you mean you're looking for a source? How do I know that there's such a din called the trefa? It seems like a silly question. So we must have misunderstood the question. It says Gemara, Ella remes the trefa she'ena chaya min ha-Torah minayin. How do I know that a trefa is ena chaya? That the reason the Torah asks a trefa is only because it cannot live. The katani sefer, because the sefer of the Mishnah, after all, it says zeh haklal. It says that the rule is kol she'en kamo chaya trefa mechal de trefa ena chaya. That anything that the klal at the end of the Mishnah is anything that cannot survive with such a condition is a trefa. So it sounds like that's the definition of a trefa, is that it's ena chaya. So that we want to know minolan. How do I know that that's true? Rav Yosef Engel has a sefer called Tiferes Yosef, where he discusses what if a malacha is done only using the koach of a nes or a skula and not through natural forces. Let's say a person does a maisa on an ilan, on a tree, on Shabbos, that causes the peros to come out, and that maisa only works b'derech skula. Are you chayiv mishum notea? Are you chayiv for planting a tree even though you didn't actually plant a tree? And he quotes that the Yerushalmi discusses, according to the way the Ridvaz understands, the Yerushalmi Masecha Shviyas, that if an avoda on a tree works only b'derech skula, it's considered to be a malacha for the dinim of Shemitah, that a person did avoda sakarka during Shemitah. So it's considered to be, if you do something that causes produce to grow during Shemitah in your field, and it only works b'derech skula, b'derech neis, that's still going to be considered that you planted during Shemitah. The Rambam, however, in the Perush Mishnayos on that Mishnah says that Misha Noshchu Kelev Shota Ein Machil Moso Mechatzer Kavit Shelo, that because the refuah doesn't work b'derech tivis, it only works b'derech skula, and you're not allowed to violate the mitzvos with something that doesn't work with natural causes. So something that works only b'derech skula is not considered refuah, that we rely you to violate the mitzvos on account of that. But he says maybe there's a difference between a skula and a neis. Okay, but says Rav Yosef Engel, maybe our sugya is helpful for this, because the Gemara in our sugya discusses whether trefa chaya, whether a trefa is able to live for a long time or not. And in halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yaradeh, we paskin trefa eina chaya. So a behema that's born with the suffix trefa, and then it goes on to live for more than 12 months, so it's a raya that it wasn't a trefa, because had it been a trefa, then it would not have lived. We paskin trefa eina chaya. So says the Rama, living 12 months only works to take it out of the category of a trefa if it was a suffix trefa. But what if it was a vadai trefa, meaning nitla kavechala? You see, there's nothing left. It's totally taken. You know, you see that with clear evidence that it had through imaging of the body even while it was alive, you saw that it had this condition the entire time, and nevertheless it lived. So then it's still going to be a trefa, says the Rama. It's only when it's a suffix trefa, when you have a sveikos legabe dina trefa, so we use the surviving Yud Beis Chodesh as an indicator one way or the other. So the Shach says, where does the Rama get this from? It's a tshuvas HaRashba, that the Rashba writes that even though the reason for the psul trefa is because it cannot live, but if it lives for Yud Beis Chodesh, it's going to be asur, because we can't go against Divrei Chazal when they define what is a trefa. So the Shach writes, it sounds from the Rashba that you then have to attribute the survival of the animal for 12 months to a nes. But nevertheless, it's still a trefa. And you say, okay, but it lived. Okay, so it lived al yedei nes, that miracles happen sometimes. So Rav Yosef Engel says, l'chori, you see from here, when it comes to Melecha Shabbos, it's done al yedei nes, because this should be a good raya. Because l'chori, why doesn't it help the fact, why doesn't the fact that it lived help to be machshir this trefa? At the end of the day, it lived. So you have to say what the Rashba means is that since the chiyus didn't happen b'teva, the chiyus happened b'neis, That's not chiyus at all. That doesn't override the dinei Torah. So it's not considered, it's not defined as chiyus legabe halacha, legabe the dinim of the Torah. So hu adin l'melacha Shabbos. You can say that any time you do something only al yidei enes, it's not defined as a melacha le'inyan, the dinei Torah. It's not considered a melacha legabe the halachos of Shabbos. A very creative presentation by Rav Yosef Engel. So anyway, so the Gemara is back to its question. Where do we find this idea that trefa ein achaya? What's the source in the Torah? Dichsiv, because the pasuk when it talks about the different types of kosher and non-kosher animals, says vizos hachaya asher tochlu. So we darshan hachaya sounds like a living thing. So the behemoth needs to be a chaya, meaning it has to be something that has chiyus in order to be able to be eaten, in order to be asher tochlu. So chaya achol she'ein achaya lo techol. So we darshan only if it's able to live do you eat it, but if it's not able to live, then apparently you cannot eat it. So mechal de trefa lo chaya. So you see that a trefa is not able to live because something that's not able to live you cannot eat. But where's the isser in the Torah to eat something that cannot live? It must be the isser of trefa, the pasuk about trefa. So that's the makor for the Torah that trefa ain't a chaya, which is the shita of our Mishnah. However, there is another shita that holds that a trefa is chaya. So the man yamar trefa chaya minale. What's the source for the opinion that holds that a trefa taka is able to live, that it is able to survive? So nafgalei, we derive it from the mi zos hachaya asher tochlu, that from the lashon of zos, it sounds like that it's being memait something else, that zos hachaya achol, but chaya acheres lo techol, that this chaya you're allowed to eat, but there are other chayos. And again, we're saying chaya over here doesn't just mean a wild beast, it doesn't just mean an animal, it means a living animal, an animal that actually lives. So there's another animal that actually lives, but you're not allowed to eat it. Michal de trefa chaya. And that's referring to a trefa, that a trefa actually does live. It actually can live, but you're not allowed to eat it. So you see that that's a source for the idea that trefa is in fact chaya. V'idach, and the opinion that holds trefa ain't a chaya. What are they mema'id from the word zos? They just used the word chaya and said, oh, that which is chaya you can eat, that which is ain't a chaya you cannot eat. But there's a meal in the pasuk of zos. What are you going to do with that meal in the pasuk? So they use it to teach that which the Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel taught. The Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel zos hachayah asher tochlu melamed shatofes Hakadosh Baruch Hu mikol min umin the herelo lemoshe. You see from here that Hakadosh Baruch Hu took every type of animal that exists and showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu va'amr lo, and he said zos achol zos lo techol. This one's kosher. This one you're allowed to eat. This one you're not allowed to eat. So that Moshe would be able to then turn around and teach the Bnei Yisrael which behemos and chayos are mutar ba'achila and which behemos and chayos are asur ba'achila. In the Sefer Vayivin Shlomo, it's quoted in the Masifta over here, he asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to show zos achol v'zos lo techol? He could have just showed him the achol ones, and the lo techol ones, you'll get mechlal hein at shomeya lav, or just show him the lo techol ones and mechlal lav, whichever is bigger, right? He shouldn't have showed him. The smaller category he should have showed him, saved a lot of time, and then everything else is the opposite. So he leaves that as a kasha, lahagdul Torah lahadir or something. The Tosos on the bottom over here says, you know, there are times where Kodesh Baruch Hu, where we have divrei chazal that Kodesh Baruch Hu had to show Moshe Rabbeinu things, and it's usually with the word zeh or zos that he had to like bring an image and be mara be'etzba that this is what it is. So Tosos says that v'hadul chashav le'ba'akom etzraba, the Gemara Menachos says kabe shlosh dvarim sheniskasha Moshe, that there are three things Moshe Rabbeinu had trouble understanding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore had to show him menorah, rosh chodesh, shrotzim. So why doesn't this one make the list? Which animals are kosher? Which ones are not kosher? How come it's not on the list of the three that the Gemara talks about over there? And not only that, v'lo chashv nami hadamar b'medrash k'min matbeya eish harakadosh baruch hu l'moshe d'chsiv zayitnu. And it also doesn't count the machsa shekel, that Moshe Rabbeinu apparently had some trouble with the machsa shekel, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu had to show him matbeya shel eish. So shem lo chashv el midi din neskasha, avol hani afal pi sharei'u lo neskasha ben el shetama al adavar. He says it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we only list in that list of three things that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding. These other things were not things that Moshe Rabbeinu was particularly struggling with. It was just that he thought it was astonishing that Mayuchal Adam Litin Kofar Nafsho, that a person is able to give Kofar Nafsho, and that somehow is going to work as a kapara. So Harei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahav Chenetiv L'Odil Yisrael. And over here also, Hashem is showing him to know what the dinim are. So he's just teaching him the dinim. It wasn't something that that he had trouble imagining. It was just a matter of educating him on which animals yes, which animals no. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him which animals yes, which animals no. The idach, and the other opinion that learns from Zos, that trefa is chaya. So nami mi bayle the Tanda Be'er Rabbi Shmuel. Don't they also need the Zos to teach me the Tanda Be'er Rabbi Shmuel? So I was a little confused by that question. Meaning, okay, maybe not. So maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't show it to Moshe. And he just, you know, taught it to him verbally. I don't know. He implanted the information in his head. I mean, why is that such a critical thing? Is there a halacha that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu? Or it's, that's a mesorah, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So maybe you don't have such a mesorah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it in that way, where he showed him, where he slept all the animals together and said like a Noach with the Teva, and showed him this animal, yes, this animal, no. So I don't know why you have to say, meaning why is there a v'idach of your, oh, now you got to answer for how they going to know the Torah of the Beit Rabbi Shmuel. So I don't know, but the Gemara does seem to say that it has to be. So says Gemara, inochinami, you're right. The Torah of the Beit Rabbi Shmuel is derived from the word Zos. We need a different source to tell me that a trefa is chaya. So where do I know it from? Nafkalemi idach tana de Rabbi Shmuel. We learn it from a different tana, from a different teaching rather, of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. The tana de Rabbi Shmuel, because by the tana de Rabbi Shmuel teaches us that in the end of the parsha of the Behemos HaTahoros and the Behemos HaTmeos, it says bein achaya haneecheles uvein achaya asher lo teachel, that there are behemos that are ra'ui to live that you're allowed to eat, and there are behemos that are ra'ui to live, and even so you're not allowed to eat them. So again, pash pshar in the pasuk is achaya means an animal, achaya means chayos, but we're darshaning it from a lashon of chiyus, that we're saying that there's a chaya hane'echeles, there's an animal that can survive that you're allowed to eat, and there's an animal that can survive, that can live, that you're not allowed to eat, because a trefa is an animal that can live. You're just not allowed to eat it. So Elish Manas Trefa Shinam Lemosh Mesinai. And the Talmud of Yerushalayim concludes, these are the 18 trefas that we have as Allah Lemosh Mesinai. So we see that a trefa is chaya. But once we mentioned these are the 18 trefos, so that catches the Gemara's attention. Wait, there are only 18 trefos? Is that a rule? Vesuleka, are there no further trefos besides for the 18? Vaika, Baskar, Vishev Shmaitza, but isn't there Baskar, meaning it's four other trefos that we find in Mishnayos that are symbolized or summarized with the Nutrikan of Baskar, the is the base of Baskar, Chisaron Shidra is the Samach, Galuda is the Gimel, and Charusa is the Reish. So even though it doesn't, again, it's not really the first letter in the words, but close enough, those sounds appear. And Shev Shmaitz, and there are seven other Shmuos about different types of Trefas that the Amoraim give us. So first we can go through the ones from the Tanaim. Well, first we'll formulate the question more precisely, then we'll go through the four from the Tanaim, then we'll go through the seven from the Amoraim, and we'll see how we could still somehow land at the number 18, even though it seems to be 18 plus 11, that there are these 11 more. So Bishlam, first just to frame the question, Bishlam l'tana didan, I understand very well, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, that even though it said that there are 18 trefos, but it doesn't say the number, meaning even though the Mishnah lists 18 trefos, it doesn't attach a number to it. So you're going to tell me that there are more? Okay, fine, that doesn't go against anything in our Mishnah. Tana, whichever ones the Mishnah listed, those are in fact trefos, and whichever ones the Mishnah didn't list, if there are 11 more, so that's that's covered at the Zahaklal, at the end of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah said that anything that could survive 12 months is not a treifa. If it cannot survive 12 months, it is a treifa. And that covers these other 11. So our Mishnah is not a problem. El Tanud Be Rabbi Shmuel, to Amar Shmon Asre Treifos. But the Tanud Be Rabbi Shmuel gave a number to it, said there are 18 treifos. Vesu Leka, is that true? Are there no more treifos? Vaha Ika. So now we go into them. So how's the Tanud? So just to frame the question, it's not a question on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah could assume that there are more than 18 treifos, but it's we're asking about on the Tanud Be Rabbi Shmuel, who specifically gave the number 18. So the first din that we find in the Mishnah or Brisa is a Mishnah in Ayin Vav, Behema Shenechtechu Ragleha Min Arkuva Ulamayla. That if you have a Behema that the leg gets cut off above the Arkuva, which is the joint between the shok and the yarech on the leg of the animal. So a behema doesn't, a human being has one knee. We have an ankle and a knee. So behema also has two different joints in the leg of the animal. So above the arkuva, so is if the leg is cut off above the arkuva, exactly where that is also an interesting discussion. That's going to make it a treifa. So you see that there's this other type of treifa that is not mentioned by the Tanud Be Rabbi Shmuel. So it says Mar, yeah, because Sabalei Karabi Shimon ben Elazar da Amar Yichali Hilikavs Lichios, because the Tanud Be Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that when it's Nechtecha Min Arkuva Ulamayla, it in fact is not a treifa, because if it scabs over and it's able to live even after getting the leg cut Min Arkuva Ulamayla. So the Gemara says no. Even though Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds that it's able to live, it doesn't really answer the question, because Leman Ka'amar, who's the Tana that you have to that we have to answer for to say that he holds like Rav Shimon ben Elazar? It's the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel who tells us that there are only 18 treifos, and we're trying to answer for him. Well, Tana of Rabbi Shmuel treifa chayis virulei. The Tana of Rabbi Shmuel says, I know it could live. It's still the treifa. Because Tanur Rabbi Shmuel holds that a treifa, in fact, can live. So you're not going to convince the Tanur Debir Rabbi Shmuel that it's not a treifa just because it is living. So the Tanur Debir Rabbi Shmuel Viter should have considered it a treifa. So we still don't have an answer for treifas number one, for the additional treifas number one that we have in Mishnayis. So Ella, you have to say that the reason that Tanur Debir Rabbi Shmuel doesn't mention, doesn't count it rather in the minyan of treifas when it's cut, the leg is cut, min arkuva lemaila, is sabrla k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar damar k'sheiri. He holds like the dinner of Shimon ben Elazar that it's not a treifa, that it's actually kosher, just for a different reason. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds that it's kosher because it can live, and he holds treifa ein achaya. So by definition, anything that can live is not a treifa. But the Tanur Debir Rabbi Shmuel holds that treifa is chaya is machshir for a different reason, that he holds that it's just not a serious enough wound for it to be a treifa. And therefore, even a nafkamina would be, without the kviya, without the scabbing over, will it be a treifa? That the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar will say, yes, it will be a treifa, unless something happens to it that it heals in a way that you know it's going to be able to live. Whereas the Tanur Debir Rabbi Shmuel will say, no, the whole thing's not a treifa. Doesn't heal, doesn't make a difference. It's not a serious enough wound to turn it into a treifa. So says Mark, okay, question number two, or example of treifa number two that was skipped in the Mishnah and the Tanur Debir Rabbi Shmuel. What about if it's missing a piece of the spine? Ditnan, because there is a Mishnah. Where's this Mishnah? Not in Chulin. This Mishnah is a Mishnah Maseches Ahalos. Wait a second. Why are we quoting Mishnayos Maseches Ahalos? Ahalos are about Tumah. That has nothing to do with Treifa. But there is a din in Maseches Ahalos of Tumas Oel from Atzamos alone. And the rule is that Tumas Oel is if you have the Atzamos of a mace, that if it were alive, it would be able to survive with these bones alone. And therefore, it's considered to be part part of the binyan that of the person that gives it its life force. So for that reason, if a behemah is missing one of these chulios, it turns out that it's not going to be able to live because of it, and that's what's going to make it a treifa. So ve'ika chisaron b'shidra, it's not kama chisaron b'shidra. How much of a chisaron of chulios of vertebrae in the spine have to be missing in order for it to for that amount of bones not to be metame ba'ol as a mace, because it wouldn't have lived anyway with that amount of bones. Beishami or mshtei chulios. That if it's missing two chulios from the shidra, beisilul omrim chulia achas. If it's missing one chulia from the shidra, v'amar v'yudam or Shmuel v'chein l'treifa. That the same din is going to be true in the halachas of treifa. So even though we're talking about tumas mace, and it's only Rabbi Yehuda who learns in the name of Rav that hu adin l'treifa. So the chavur, maybe the Gemara should not have considered this among the Gemara's two sets of treifas that we're asking from. There are the four that we gave a nutrikin for, and then there's the Shev Shmaitza. So the chavur, this is Shev Shmaitza. This should have been one of the Shmaitzas. It should not have been, because it's really based on an Amoraic statement. V'amar Rabbi Yom Shmuel v'chein l'treifa, that because it says v'chein l'treifa. So Tos explains Rabbi Yehuda is medayik from the Seifa of the Mishnah, where there's a machlokas in the chisaron agulgolos, the beishame it's kamalo amakdeach, and beisil says kadeshi yinatul menachai v'yamos. So the chisaron is talui in the shir misa. So Rabbi Yehuda, the point is Rabbi Yehuda didn't make it up. Rabbi Yehuda is saying it. He's formulating it, but it's muchach in the Mishnah itself. So this does count as one of the Mishnayos. But bottom line is, here's another item that is a treifa. How come the Tanna Rabbi Shmuel didn't list this treifa? So answers the Gemara that even the Tanna Rabbi Shmuel holds enochinami, that this does make the animal into a treifa, and it is included in the number of 18. But we have to rework the accounting of the 18 that we've already mentioned. Hemsesu beisakosos to chashavtulu betarti, the hemses and beisakosos, which we counted as two separate ones, chashvinu bechada. He counts it as a single treifa because they're so close to one another in the body of the animal that it's considered the same basic body part. Oh, so that frees up one. So apichada va'el chada. So take out one of those because we count them as we count the two as one, and now that leaves us room for one more, and that's this one. So says Gemara, but va'ika gluda. What about a behema that's been totally skinned alive? That's also a treifa. The Mishnah says on Daf Nun Dalad that's a treifa. Says Gemara, savla kramer demachshir. Maybe the Tanna of Rabbi Shmuel assumes like the shita of Rabbi Meir that holds that a gluda is not one of the treifas. Okay, va'ika charusa. What about a behema that the lung has shriveled because of it suffered from some terrible shock or fear or something? So the Gemara answers, Mara, the man katanila. Who's the Tana that taught that Mara is that nikva hamara makes it a treifa? Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. That's only the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who's a das yachid. The chacham disagree, and they hold that if nikva hamara, it's going to be kosher. So the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel must hold like the chachamim that hold that's kosher. So apik mara, take mara off of the list, va'il charusa, and stick charusa onto the list. So that's how we can stay with the number 18. So far we've survived the first four challenges by saying that we have to change just how we do the accounting on the list. That some of them don't belong on the list, some of them do belong, but need to be condensed into one. So says Gemara, Vayika Shev Shmaitza. But there are seven others that are shmuos of Amoraim that need to be accounted for. Damar of Masna, Haybuka Da Atba De Shaf Miduchte. If you have a thigh bone that gets dislodged from its place, treifa. Va'amar Rachish Bar Papa Mishmei Derav. How often you have Rachish Bar Papa not at a siyum? So Rachish Bar Papa says in the name of Rav, Laksa Bukulia Achas Treifa, that if someone strikes it even on a single kidney, it becomes a treifa. Utnan, and the third one we have that the Mishnah says Nitala Tchol Ksheira, that if the spleen is missing, it's kosher. Va'amar Rav Avira Mishmei Derav Halo Shonu Ela Nitala Velnik of Treifa, that if there's a nekev in the spleen, then it is a then it's it's a treifa. And fourth one, the Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Shmuel Simanim Shenidal Deluberuban Treifa. That the Simanim, meaning the Karna and the Veshet, if they're uprooted from the place along most of the place where it's supposed to be Mechuber to the body, so that would be a treifa. So that's a fourth one, and then a fifth one, the Amar Rabba Bar of Shilo Amar Rav Mas Amar Shmuel Nekrat Sela Meikara Treifa. If the rib is removed from meikara from its point of attachment, it's a treifa. V'gulgola shenechpesa beruba, or if you have a skull that's been struck and crushed in most parts of it, it's going to be a treifa. Ubisara chofes rova keres berubo treifa, and the flesh that covers most of the keres that got ripped open is going to be considered a treifa. So you have all these seven other treifos. So says Gemara, Nikuvi Tmani Havu. Oh, maybe there's a way to solve all of it in one shot. Maybe we can solve all of this accounting, these seven more in one shot. Because there were eight treifos in the Mishnah that were about a nekev. So Chashvinu Bechad, maybe all of them count as one. Sapik Shavai El Shev. So those eight become one, which frees up seven slots, and the seven slots are filled in by these seven slots. So says Gemara, it doesn't work. Ihachi, if the Tanur Rabbi Shmuel counts all of the Nikuvi as one, Psuke Nami Trehav Chashvinu Bechad. There are two Psuke. There's Nifsak Hagargeres and the Chut HaShidrash Nifsak. So that should also count as one. Basuluchad, and then we're one short. Va'od Rav Avira Mishmei Derava Nami Nikuvi. And not only that, Rav Avira Mishmei Derava, who said Nikav HaTchol is a Trefa, that's also a Nikuva. One of the seven that we're trying to add over here is also a Nikuva. So it shouldn't take up its own slot on the list of the 18. Sa'ela Hanuch Tarti Da Pakt Lo Tapik. So you have to go back to the original four where we took two out in order to make room for two others. So don't take those two out, because we just freed up two more slots by saying that there are two hafsakos that are in the Mishnah, and that one of the seven that we added is Nikuvi, goes into the Nikuvi list, and therefore we have two extra slots. So those two extra slots must be because we were too quick to knock off slots earlier when we were going through the Mishnayos. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Ula on the top line. Everyone have a great day.